Welcome to Rhode Island Avenue Radio, where we'll talk about news, education, and opportunities for small businesses on the Rhode Island Avenue Main Street and in Washington, D.C. I'm Michelle Yancey.
And I'm Kyle Todd. Welcome to Rhode Island Avenue Radio. Good morning, and welcome to another episode of Rhode Island Avenue Radio. Good morning, Michelle.
Good morning, Kyle. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. And you?
I'm doing well as well.
Good, good. Rodney is not behind the board today, but the big man himself, Ron, the guy, the brains behind the whole Bliss FM is here on the board for us. Hello, Ron.
Good morning.
We've got a couple of quick announcements to make, and then we've got some fantastic guests joining us, so let me just dive on in. First of all, thank you to our sponsors, the Department of Small and Local Business Development and the Department of Housing and Community Development. It is their grant dollars that help us produce this show and provide other valuable resources for small businesses in the Rhode Island Avenue corridor. So thank you to them. If you are interested in having your business profiled or perhaps becoming a sponsor of Rhode Island Avenue Radio, give me a call at 202-808-9050 or email me at kyle@riamainstreet.org. Okay, announcements. So by the time this is aired, the brand new bus line, the G9, will have run for one full day.
the crowd goes wild.
So for those of you who are maybe tuning in for the first time, the G9 bus line is going to be, or it is, a new bus line that will be running the length of Rhode Island Avenue from the Circle in Mount Rainier all the way down Rhode Island Avenue to, I believe, 14th Street Northwest, and then going down to McPherson Square and coming back. This is a first for Rhode Island Avenue to have a bus line that runs the entire length of Rhode Island Avenue, and it's much needed. The G8 that joins Rhode Island Avenue about 4th Street Northeast is always overcrowded by the time it gets to 4th Street during rush hour, and a lot of people were left standing at the bus stop with nothing in the way of resources to get them downtown. All of the buses that come in from Mount Rainier, from Maryland, all terminate at the Rhode Island Avenue Metro Station and then turn around and go back to Maryland. So we didn't have anything that ran the full length. So this is something that we advocated for heavily. We had a lot of community support for this. Our wonderful Ward 5 council member Kenya McDuffie got it over the goal line for us and made sure that there was funding for it. So, yeah, it started on Monday, and we're very excited about it. For now, this first year, it'll be a rush hour only limited stop Metro Extra route. But it is our hope that over the course of this next year, we'll prove the worth of the route, and it will become a regular 7-day-a-week route. So fingers crossed on that. But by all means, hop on that G9 and make good use of it. Next announcement, Porch Fest is April 15th, Saturday, April 15th from 2 to 6 p.m. We have some fantastic bands lined up for that. If you remember Porch Fest from last year, it was a great time. We're actually going to have an official stage at 1301 Rhode Island Avenue, in addition to the various residential and commercial porches along the Rhode Island Avenue corridor. So head over to our website, riamainstreet.org, and check out Porch Fest event information, plus all the other events we've got coming up. And I think that's it on my announcements so far. We'll stop there. Okay, so our first guest today is Stacy Brown from Chief Image Builder. Stacy is a visual communications and branding expert, providing powerful solutions to help our clients build their brand and increase customer engagement. Welcome, Stacy.
Thank you for having me.
So you are brand new here on Rhode Island Avenue. You've set up shop in the new Five Points Business Center at 2316 Rhode Island Avenue. And welcome to the community.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here.
So let's talk a little bit about your business. Not only are you a new business here on Rhode Island Avenue, but you provide great services to small businesses in the way of marketing and branding.
Yeah, well, I try to do that. I actually have a background in marketing, business, and I also own a sign company. And through that, I found that what I really needed to do was help businesses understand the image that they needed to promote. There's a lot of noise out there. There's a lot of solutions that you could use. There's just a lot of noise. So one of the things I found in my sign world was that people were really confused, particularly small businesses, about how to go about putting together a cohesive look, how to present their brand in the best way possible, how to make sure that what they wanted people to feel about their brand was actually coming across. And so Chief Image Builder is a result of all of that learning, with a focus on particularly small businesses, helping them navigate those waters and helping them look at the best way to engage customers cost effectively, to be consistent and cohesive.
Right. And the brand is your first introduction to the customer, right?
Yes, it is. Yep. And a lot of people think their brand is their logo and all the things they do, but a brand is really a lot more than that. I don't necessarily focus on helping them develop their brand. So most of my target customers already have a view of who they are. What I try to do is help bring out the brand, the things that they want people to know about them in the best way possible.
Right.
What are some of the things that you do to get a business to stand out? There's a lot of competition out there, so.
I think the biggest thing we do is we focus on making sure that how they're different comes across. So a lot, I'll take an example of a contracting company. There are a lot of contracting companies out there. What is it that you do that makes you different? What services do you offer? How do you run your business? What do you want your customers to feel? And then how can we visually communicate that? So how can we communicate that in words and pictures so that you can actually stand out? And for small businesses, it's really important, more than just the message, is how can you look professional? A lot of times small businesses think that, I can just sort of do anything and I can do one thing over here. But it's really even more important for a small business to have a consistent look. So if I see you on your website, that when I then see your marketing material, your business card, your storefront, that I recognize you, that you keep it consistent. Right. And that's one of the
no-brainer, but it isn't.
No, it's not a no-brainer. The number of folks who will come to me and say, I really want to stand out, so I really want to do something and make it pop, and I want to be red, white, and black, for example. And then I go to their website, and we start looking at their other marketing materials, and we see that they look nothing like that. And so trying to just explain to them why it's important to present themselves the same way, and that changing their color scheme or the way they look will actually change people's view of their business.
Definitely. Look at McDonald's. You go to McDonald's in any country, and you recognize McDonald's.
Yeah, the golden arches.
Yeah,
exactly.
So, you're down at the Five Points Business Center.
Yes.
So what brought you to Rhode Island Avenue?
Well, it's interesting. I met the folks at SB Works through a client, actually, and I recently just started this business in January. So we'll tell you, I'm fairly new, so I'm evolving, and they just have so many interesting things going on over there. Give so much support to the businesses, and I just thought it would be a great place to settle down. I'm also even though I live in Silver Spring, Maryland right now, I'm a native Washingtonian. Yeah. I know this area. I've actually lived in this area for a while, many years ago. So it was really important for me to kind of come back to D.C.
Very good. Very good. We like it when people want to come back to D.C.
We do like it. What are some specific problems that some business owners might run into where they would need Chief Image Builder, aside from building a website? It sounds like you deal a lot with existing businesses.
Yes.
What if it's a brand new business?
So most of the time, the people I'm working with, they are either struggling with what sort of solutions to implement, right? So depending on the type of business you are, there may be certain types of advertising or marketing solutions, that are best. So I spend a lot of time looking at people's business, who their target customers are, and then first helping them figure out, okay, well, where do you need to be? Where are they? And what are some of the tools, that are out there that will help you actually reach and engage those customers? So I'll give you an example. I have a client, and they owned a boutique, and she, you know, wanted to get some extra advertising. So one of the things we talked about was, well, where are your customers? Well, she was near the Civic Center in Silver Spring. So one of the things we talked about is how she could actually leverage her store, her vehicle, to actually advertise, and actually gave her sort of some ideas on how she could position that vehicle in different locations when they were actually having events, right? And then what we could put on that vehicle so that she could get her message across. But it's mostly about that.
Yeah. So Stacy, what outline for us the specific services that you offer through Chief Image Builder?
Okay, so most of it right now is just consulting, and I also do some seminars. So people will come to me with sort of their challenge, and what I do is I give them advice as to what they might want to do to enhance their website, maybe their marketing materials, business card, maybe some solutions that they might think about implementing. I always give them feedback on their visuals, because a lot of times people are using stock image, clip art, things like that. So I will sort of advise them on what they're currently doing. Right now, I don't offer a full range of services. So if there are things people need related to web development or marketing, I have some strategic partners that I will actually connect them with so that they can get more detailed help with that.
Gotcha. And everybody in business understands that, you need a logo, you need a sign, you need a website.
Right.
I hope everybody understands they need a website. We're working
right
on
now,
that.
Yes, I hope so.
So what are one or two aspects of branding, of marketing, that you feel like many small businesses are just missing?
Okay. I'm going to start with logo, because I think that's a good place to start. Because we also do some logo design. So one of the big things I think people decide when they want to do a logo, particularly small businesses, they decide what they like. They come up with a picture of what they like, the colors they like, and what they want to do. And what they really need to do is look at their business, what type of business they're in, what kind of competition they have, the psychology of color, right? Because certain businesses should probably not have certain colors, right? Because certain colors evoke certain emotions.
Yeah.
So one of the big things that I find that a lot of times people will get a logo made by someone who doesn't try to understand their business. So one of the things I try to let people know is, if you're going to find a designer, make sure that they're, business knowledge. If they don't ask you about your business, your vision, your customers, your competition, and they only ask you about what colors and fonts you like, you're probably going to have a disconnect between what your brand and what you really want to present versus what actually happens. So that's one thing that I find. And then in that process, I do some consultation with people, because they don't know what they're supposed to get out of that process. There are some standards in terms of colors. You should make sure you have standard colors. There are certain types of files that are due to you. And I work with a lot of clients who just don't understand that.
So somebody's given them a logo, but not all the font files and color profiles.
They haven't defined it. A big, big thing I see a lot is they just pick a color, right? In the world of advertising and marketing, there are color standards. If I just pick a color from the screen, I can't guarantee how it's going to represent itself in multiple media. So it's really important that the graphic person defines the color with color codes that can be duplicated by any printer, by anyone. And that's something that we see a lot. And sometimes we actually have to help people retrofit their logo to then standardize the color. Because they're wondering, well, why is it when this printer prints this, it looks totally different than over here? Well, that's because you don't have a standard color language.
Interesting.
So that's something we help people with.
That's something you wouldn't think about.
Yes.
Sounds like that's your expertise. How did you get into this field?
Oh, my goodness. Well, probably I have a background in marketing and business, and I spent probably 20 years in corporate world. And then for the last almost 7 years, I've operated a sign company. And one of the things I decided when I got into that business, I'm not a sign techie, right? But one of the things I noticed was that really signs are about presenting your business and promoting your business. And so from day one, I decided that I was going to run my sign company like a marketing company that happened to sell signs, which is a little bit different. And so my questions never started with, what kind of sign do you want? It was, tell me about your business. What are you trying to accomplish? And the name Chief Image Builder is sort of an interesting name because I gave myself that title in my other business because it was sort of an aspirational view that I didn't want to just be owner, sign lady, sign guy. I wanted to really be seen as a chief image builder. And so I put that name out there and then decided every day that that's how I would run my business, that it was really about promoting the business, understanding them. And sometimes they didn't need what I was offering because, you know, they didn't have the website. So they really weren't ready for signage. And so I've sort of become an evangelist, particularly for small business, to really, really help them understand what they need to do. It's really not complicated.
But it's not their expertise.
It's not their expertise.
But it's yours.
It is so. My expertise, and I just feel it can be very simplified, and people can, you can look great no matter what size you are. No one has to know what size you are, you know, if you actually do it right. Mm-hmm. And so that's one thing that I like to spend a lot of time doing.
I think it's important. I like the aspect that you get to know the business because you can make an informed decision that way.
Of course.
So that's really good.
Where do you see your business growing from here?
Well, this is the part of my business I really like. I really love engaging with people. So I want to figure out how to do more of it, probably broaden some of the services I offer. So I mentioned to you that if there's something I can't do, so I can do graphic design and those sort of things within my house. But if someone needed a marketing plan, for example, although I have a marketing background, that's just not what I'm equipped to do. But sometimes people really do need to do that. They really need to go back and tweak their whole marketing approach. They really need to think it through. That and probably web development as well. So I already do a little bit of that on the design side, but that's probably an area because a lot of folks, particularly small businesses, neglect that. And that is the first place people find you. If you don't have a website presence, you don't exist.
Thank you.
I think we say that every week now.
I try it. I find myself saying that.
And there are a lot of tools. That's also sort of a, you know, black box that it used to be so complicated. There are a lot of tools out there that you can look extremely professional. And it doesn't cost a lot of money.
Right, right.
And you can get rid of that Gmail and, you know, Comcast. No, nothing against that, but, you know.
Are you going to be a big name business emailing from a big name business at Gmail?
Right. That is so pervasive.
It is.
That is probably one of my biggest comments. And, you know, I direct people to, you know, you can get, there's a free, there's you have a website. It's very easy to get an email that, matches that.
So easy.
And I mean, just as a consumer, I am very hesitant to use a business that has a Gmail. I'm like, you're like me.
I think that you're
like me, so I don't know how to do this.
And I think people need to hear that from their customers because when I say that to people, they just think that I'm, you know, nitpicking. But
no,
I'm telling you, particularly on the type of business you are, first of all, you already tell me you're small.
No.
Right.
Right.
You already tell me you're not serious. And you want, a lot of these businesses want you to spend thousands of dollars.
Right.
This isn't like, you know, free lunch here. So I try to tell people there are some very simple things, and that is about being, you know, branding. If you really want to be taken seriously, the things like the Gmail, you know, resolving that, having a website, not having blurry images on your site. I mean, there's just very, very simple things that people
being
can
able
do.
To use it from the phone.
Yes, a mobile. And again, bringing that, and a lot of people are, you know, really confused about how to go about doing that. So that's an area that I definitely want to grow into because people's internet presence and then everything you see visual matters. I mean, there are a lot of other things in between that. But these days, if I can't find you and Google you, you don't exist.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Very true.
We say that over and over and over. And you know, I think I would be interested in hearing your thoughts on this. But it's been my experience that a lot of people get sold into doing search engine optimization on their website when they just really don't need to. If they have a presence on the web, if they are using social media, if they are updating their website,
yes,
you're going to have a presence on
exactly.
the web.
Exactly. So there's two ways. I think you bring up a great point. Now, I do some search engine optimization, but the best way to do it is organically. So you may need a shot in the arm by doing some that you might pay for. But generally, you're right. If you're updating your website, adding new photos, adding new content, engaging with your target customers, you will improve your ranking. And in fact, Google rewards you more when you organically do that. So a lot of people don't understand that either. They think I can just buy it and I don't have to do anything. Google understands that. And they've basically said, yep, you can do that if you want to. But the best way to get our ranking is to do it organically. Yep. And so that's something people really need to understand.
Yep. For instance, when I was looking for information on Chief Image Builder to be able to ask appropriate questions this morning, I fired up my phone and I typed in Chief Image and the letter B, and it automatically popped up Chief Image Builder. So that's something that, you know, every business, you know, Google your business, type in your business name or, you know, whatever search engine you use and see how quickly it comes up. See how far down in the quote unquote rankings you are, how many pages you have to go to get to you. And you don't have to pay for that. Just start doing stuff.
Yeah. Well, the other interesting thing is, I always think businesses also need to think about that before they even maybe think about the name of their business. So when I was looking at Chief Image Builder, I wanted to see what else is there. Are there 50 million Chief Image? I mean, what's out there? There are a lot of similar business names. And then if you're not up on your SEO and you're not there, you're just going to get lost. So think about that as well. I mean, that's something that I found. I didn't find any other Chief Image Builder out there. So.
That sounds like something on the front end.
It definitely looks like.
You're one of a kind, Stacey. Yeah. One of a kind.
So if our listeners want to utilize your services, how can they get in touch with you?
The best way to contact me, they can actually go to my website. You can send me an email that way, and that's chiefimagebuilder.com. Or you can email at Stacey, that's S-T-A-C-E-Y with an E, at chiefimagebuilder.com. And my phone number is 202-505-4791.
Perfect. Well, welcome to the neighborhood, Stacey.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. Yes. It's a great welcome.
Yes. Thanks for joining us and telling us about your business.
Yep. And we'll see if we can hook you up with some of the businesses in the area.
Looking forward to it.
Yeah, you kind of have a hookup with some of the businesses in the area.
I might know a few. All right. Thanks a lot, Stacey.
Great. Thank you for having me.
Thanks.
Now it's time to visit with Casey from Good Food Markets. Casey, how you doing?
Doing well, Kyle. Thanks. How are you guys?
Pretty good.
We're doing fine, thanks. How's everything at the market this week?
It's pretty good. I finally got kumquats in, which I have been trying to get in for, I guess, 2 months now. And this is a really special thing that we carried last year, and I'm glad that we have it back now. Did you guys see the kumquats that we had last year, the little teeny tiny citrus?
You know, I'm embarrassed to say I don't know that I know what a kumquat is. So I don't know if I saw it.
I'm not really sure if this is a part of people's diet, but it's definitely a fun, teeny tiny little citrus. It's probably no bigger than, you know, the top part of your thumb, right? And it's just a small citrus fruit that takes a longer time to ripen. You usually only get one good crop out of a tree. And they've become really popular with, say, like the craft cocktails and things like that. But they're also just a fun extra flavor to throw into either your cooking or fruit salad, maybe like a morning bowl that you're making. And the trick with them is that they can be extremely sour. So you want to take the kumquat, just one kumquat in your hand, and roll it together. And then you're going to release all these oils and aromas, and that helps make it a little bit sweeter, too. So when you do cut open into it, you can eat it just like that.
And you eat the skin and everything, right?
You can. I think it's the way that some people eat kiwi skin. You could if you wanted that little extra fiber.
You should see Kyle's face with the thought
of kiwi skin. Juice it.
Yeah.
Kiwi skin. That's like
hairy.
Yeah, that's like fingernails on a chalkboard. So kumquats,
kumquats are here. They're back. Yeah. We're all super excited about it.
Well, that sounds good. That's good to know because you just gave a tip on rolling it and making it a little sweeter.
Yeah.
I mean, you need to do that sometimes with lots of different things, and you don't know that.
Yeah. With lemons.
Oh, definitely.
Too.
And limes. So.
Yeah, and the limes. Yeah, especially when they're getting a little hard on you. If they've been in your fridge for a while and they're drying out, you give it a good roll on the countertop or against the cutting board, you're definitely going to get a lot more of the juice out without even using anything like a reamer.
Right. So, that's good to know. Well, I will try to taste a kumquat this season.
Pretty yeah, sure.
And if you want to try just one, we'll totally help you out with that. You don't have to buy,
okay.
Like,
I'm
going to
come in and say, Casey said I can have one.
You can have just one. Just to know. It's a fun new thing.
Very good.
So, There's some new stuff in the prepared food case. I picked up a container of the real nachos sauce.
Oh, yeah. Rachel is getting super excited about these dips, you know, with these maybe spring swings that are coming through. She's got the 7-layer nacho dip that people just go crazy for. I feel like maybe our dinner crowd isn't even getting a chance to try it because our lunch crowd wipes it out. But that 7-layer nacho dip is great. And then they have this nacho beer cheese sauce that they make that is delicious. Great for barbecue for sure. And then a black bean dip as well, which is vegan. A lot of the stuff in there is vegan right now.
Very cool. All appropriate for March Madness and all that good stuff.
That's right, March Madness. It's a popular one.
Yes.
Got tons of new beers for that. Yeah.
Very good. I have to ask, is there any new ice cream flavors?
Oh, yeah, that Luck of the Irish came in. I actually, Trickling Springs did short me on it this most recent week, what with all the crazy deliveries with the snow that had happened. But we might see a lemon chiffon reappear. Ooh. If you guys remember that from last year.
That's a yummy little
tart ice cream.
Yeah, I remember that quite well. It was delicious.
They had an intimate relationship.
You might want to stay away for everyone's benefit. But
yes, that sounds good.
All right. Where remind listeners where Good Food Market is?
Yep, so Good Food Market is on 2006 Rhode Island Avenue Northeast. We're at 20th and Rhode Island. You can give us a call at 202-248-8494. And then we'll let you know what we have for soup on deck. If something's in stock, always give us a call beforehand. We're on Twitter, we're on Instagram, we're on Facebook. And then our website is goodfoodmarkets.com.
Great. Thank you so much, Casey.
Take care,
Casey.
Yeah,
thanks, Kyle. Thanks, Michelle. Take care, guys.
You too. Bye-bye. So we're excited to welcome back Tony Brunswick, the Executive Director of Arden Ables, into the studio. Welcome back, Tony.
Thank you so much. It's great to be here.
Well, it's been a little over a year since you've been in
that
you became the Executive Director at Arden Ables. How's everything been going?
It's been incredible. It's been a really wonderful year. I feel incredibly grateful to have the opportunity to serve as the Executive Director for Arden Ables. It's a really wonderful, special organization, and we're grateful to be on Rhode Island Avenue, Ward 5.
We're very happy to have you here. Why don't you remind our listeners what Arden Ables is and what you all do?
Yeah, Arden Ables is a vocational arts program and art gallery for artists with disabilities. Our entire mission is to help artists make, create, and earn income from their artwork. So we're helping individuals build career in the arts.
That's terrific. I every time I walk by, it kind of makes me happy, especially when I see them working.
Yeah, it's a really beautiful space. Our building is quite beautiful for folks who haven't been there. I think it was a public library when it first opened many, many, many decades ago. It's been a bunch of things since, but it's a beautiful home for us now.
You know, what's interesting, as long as I've known about Arden Ables, I did not realize until recently when I was doing some research for this interview that the venue is available for rental.
Yep. So it's for those who haven't been there, it's a beautiful space. It's a two-floor facility. Our primary gallery, called the Studio Gallery, and our art studio where our artists work is on the first floor, the Rhode Island entrance. And then we also have a ground floor that has a second gallery for us called the Off-Road Gallery. Both galleries on site make wonderful venue rental opportunities for folks for small business conferences and meetings to, intimate events in the evening and weekends for folks who are interested.
That's very good. So I know there's a variety of art that's in the studio. Maybe tell our listeners a little bit about the commissioned artwork that's available, which I also didn't know that you all provide.
Yeah, so again, our artists are adult artists with various types of disabilities and mental health needs and challenges, but stand on their own in the visual art space. Their work is exhibited locally, nationally, and internationally, and we have quite a collector base for our artists, and many of our artists really enjoy doing commissions. And commissions have become a larger part of our work. So if folks have something that they're interested in getting commissioned, we would love to talk to you about it. We can sit down with a couple different artists and see who might be the best fit and the style and technique that the artist and the interested commissioned purchaser is interested in. We can talk through that. But a lot of our commissioned works are of homes and pets and family members. It's a lot of fun to do commissioned work. It's a special way to give a really unique gift to someone.
And the artists themselves, they are, I am an art, non-educated art person.
I'm non-arty. Yeah.
But I believe the phrase is outsider art.
Yeah.
No formal art training.
Yeah. So the there's lots of different terms for different types of art. And we sort of live in the outsider art, folk art world. And
that's a thing.
It's a thing. Outsider art is a term to describe artists and artwork that sort of come out of the or exist outside of the formal art train. They don't have formal art training. They haven't gone to art school. Most of them are largely self-taught artists, and so it's artwork that at one point wasn't considered typical mainstream art. It wasn't classical art. It wasn't modern art. It was this kind of, at one point, seen as just this different, kooky kind of art. It has now become a very established part of the visual arts world. And most folks would describe the artwork that our artists create in sort of this outsider art, folk art genre.
Yeah, and I love it. I love the vibrant colors and the sometimes very quirky representation of the subject, and it's I absolutely love it.
Yeah, we have artists that are quite abstract in the way that they paint or the way that they do their work, and then we have other artists that are much more narrative and representational. So they're depicting experiences in their own lives, things that they see in the community. A lot of our folks draw on classical works, popular culture, you name it, to influence and create their artwork. And their interpretation of what they create is it's a powerful vehicle for them to communicate, express themselves, and contribute to be a part of the community. I think, art enables believes fundamentally in the capacity and capability and talent of our artists, and we also deeply believe in the social good that is art, and we think it's an important contribution to the community. And anytime people are able to bring their gifts forward for the community, I think that strengthens the community and it strengthens all of us. And so we're grateful that Art Enables can be a place where our artists are able to come and bring their gifts forward, and it's gratifying, it's professionally fulfilling, but I think it's also making a meaningful contribution to not just Ward 5 and our community here, but the broader DC community.
Yeah, and you all don't just have like paintings and sculptures. I mean, I think I bought a bag from there once, a little burlap shopping bag, which I love.
Yeah, so we have a limited amount of merchandise. We're still kind of exploring and testing the waters on different types of unique ways to be engaging our artists in the creation of creative, unique, high-quality merchandise. We try to view every activity that we do at the studio as a professional development opportunity for not only our own staff, but for our artists. So to be able to sit down and talk about a piece of artwork and to try to think about how that artwork could be transferable to some type of merchandise or some type of product or item is a great opportunity for folks.
So do you all have any upcoming events?
Yeah. So 2017 is a really exciting year for us. This is our 15th anniversary year. And so there's a lot of exciting things on the docket for this year. One of the biggest for us is that in June we are going to be beginning a fairly large building preservation and renovation project. We're going to be doing a lot of work on the facade. We're going to be doing a lot of work inside the space to improve accessibility, to improve comfort for our guests and for our artists. A lot of folks are unaware that we are a public gallery. We're open Monday through Friday, 9 to 4, and then we are also open right now the first two Saturdays of every month. And this spring we will be hopefully open every Saturday. And so we want to make sure that folks who come to Art Enables have a wonderful, comfortable experience. So that project will be beginning in June. We're very excited about. We will also be having a big 15th anniversary celebration in November. It'll be somewhat of a ribbon cutting for a hopefully completed building renovation project, as well as just celebrating 15 incredible years as an organization, six or seven of those here on Rhode Island Avenue. And then, but much nearer term, we have a really wonderful event coming in just a couple weeks, week and a half, on March 29th. We are hosting what we call Art After Hours at Art Enables. We have these events two or three times a year. And it's just a fun opportunity to invite folks to come out, visit with us, meet some of our artists, check out the artwork. It's March 29th from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. It's free to attend. We'll have simple hors d'oeuvres and drinks for folks. And it's, like I said, it's really just an opportunity to celebrate our artists, their work, and the part of the community that we get to play here in Ward 5.
That's terrific. Will you all be open during the renovations?
We will be open during the renovations. There's a bunch of the renovations are exterior work. And then there's the interior work we're going to do floor by floor. So when we're working on the first floor, we'll be operating out of the ground floor and then vice versa.
And at that time, will you have to have less artists in residence? Or?
Nope, it shouldn't impact our programs a whole lot. We have about 35 artists currently in our program, and then there's a bunch of other folks that we engage in on a regular basis. Our program shouldn't be impacted too significantly. We won't be having a lot of on-site exhibitions during the renovation period, but we'll continue our regular off-site exhibition program. So we'll have, in the course of a year, we'll have anywhere between 15 and 20 exhibitions between on-site and off-site shows in the area. So we're going to continue to have a heavy exhibition season for us, and all of that information, we put out on our Facebook page, on our website, and we encourage folks to come out. They're a lot of fun.
Very good, very good. So I've seen the rendering, the drawings for the renovation. It looks fantastic on the outside.
Thank you.
I think the mural on the roll down gates is fantastic, but I think the end product that you're going to implement is just beautiful.
So yeah, we really tried to keep with the character of the building, the character of the block, and we think it's going to go a long way to just creating a more comfortable environment for artists. A lot of the work that we're doing is stuff that we have to do. The entire exterior needs a lot of point work. We've got water coming in. The windows and doors on the front of the building are many decades old.
Yep.
So we're looking forward to putting in fully ADA compliant doors with push button entrance and all that kind of stuff. So we're excited, and I think it's going to really make the building beautiful and contribute to the beauty of the block.
Yep. So feel free to safe word out of what I'm about to ask, but the federal budget.
Yep.
And the threats to the National Endowment for the Arts.
Yep.
How do you anticipate that impacting your work?
Yeah. So, I think there's a lot of individuals, there's a lot of organizations that are existing in this sort of the state of the unknown right now. There's a lot of anxiety, I think, about how some of these recommended budget cuts will impact folks. Art Enables, is potentially impacted on multiple fronts, not only on, you know, cuts to the arts, but also sort of the restructuring of Medicaid and supportive programs for people with disabilities. And we honestly don't know how that's all going to shake out for us. It's certainly a concern. Art Enables will be doing what it can to advocate for the ongoing funding of these critically important programs. And, you know, behind every program are really important people and individuals that, you know, I think we all, many of us feel we have a real responsibility to be providing support to. And as I mentioned before, you know, when people get to bring their gifts forward, you know, we're all better off for it. And the way that people are able to bring their gifts forward is creating an environment where they're supported and they have that capacity to do that. And I think some of these cuts risk people's ability to be putting themselves forward, to bring them their gifts forward. And we're just, you know, we're holding our breath in some ways, but we're also, you know, advocating. We're really trying to put voice behind why we believe in the National Endowment for the Arts, why we believe in arts programming, why we believe it's critically important to be providing holistic support to our fellow brothers and sisters in the community that, you know, live with different types of disabilities and mental health needs and challenges.
In the post this morning, there was a congressman that was quoted as saying, you know, the bottom line is, you know, Congress holds the purse strings.
Yeah.
So nobody should get too upset right now. That,
yep.
So, you know, to listeners, be sure and contact your Congress representatives, congressional representatives about the programs that you believe in,
yeah.
Whether it's arts, whether it's HUD, whether it's Medicaid, any of those aspects. This is my token reminder of the day to
yep.
yes.
to stand up for things you believe in.
Yeah, absolutely.
So went off topic on that.
No, that's actually not off topic.
Yeah.
Because
it affects all of us, and
yes.
we have neighbors that are going to be deeply affected by some of these things, and so we want to make sure we're advocating and standing up for folks.
Definitely, society without art, we become savages.
Yeah.
Sorry, we've seen this happen in
yeah.
history.
Yeah.
Art is important.
What was the quote that somebody famous said it. I'm not going to get it right. I'm not even going to remember who said it. But, you know, if we cut off funding to arts and all of these wonderful things, then what are we
right.
fighting mm-hmm. for? You know,
right.
yeah.
why have a military? Because what are you fighting to protect? So
yeah,
right. And music calms the savage beast. I mean, right? that's what they say. Music, art, all of those yep, wonderful yep, things.
Yep. Yeah.
So if people want to get involved with Art Enables as an artist or a volunteer,
yeah.
how does that happen?
So we just launched a brand new, beautiful website. So we encourage everyone to check
website.
It out.
Yeah. What a novel idea.
Yeah. yeah. So our domain is www.art-enables.org. On the website, you'll find all relevant information for the happenings and activities at Art Enables, all of our events, all of our exhibitions, all of our artists are on our website. It's also our online gallery and marketplace. So if you're interested in checking out artwork, purchasing artwork, all of that can be done online. And we deeply value volunteers. So if you're interested in being part of our work, if you're interested in connecting with us in some kind of way, whether it's, you know, you've got one day over the next 6 months to give, or you've got an hour or two every day for the next 6 months, let us know. That information is also on our website. There's a big link for ways to get involved, and you'll find us there. But you can also just pop by the studio anytime you want. Like I said, the gallery is open 9 to 4, Monday through Friday, and the first two Saturdays of every month. We'd be happy to meet and talk with you.
And you have workshops those Saturdays,
yeah.
right? Yeah.
So every second Saturday of the month, we have a workshop series called the Second Saturday Workshop. And it's a free workshop open to the public from 1 to 4. Every month we offer this as this art making activity for the general public and for artists. Often our artists will facilitate the workshop. Sometimes we have guest artists from the community facilitate, and they're a lot of fun. This past weekend we had one. It was Chinese calligraphy. Last month we did a lino cut print relief making workshop. So they're quite varied and quite different, and we really encourage folks to come out. They're free. 1 to 4, you can pop in for 10 minutes. You can stay for 2 hours if you want. It's just a wonderful time to come together and make art.
Yep. And I will take this opportunity to say our annual meeting this year will be held at Art Enables. We had our very first annual meeting at Art Enables back in 2011 or 12. I don't remember. And it was actually more of a holiday meeting, but it was before we were in official Main Street. So we will be coming back to Art Enables May 10th, the evening of May 10th. That's a Wednesday. So you can find out more information about that on our website, riamainstreet.org. But if you don't get a chance to make it to Art Enables before then, please join us for the annual meeting on May 10th.
Yes, and we're excited to host you.
Yeah, and listeners, just to be reminded, Art Enables is located right here in Woodridge at 2204 Rhode Island Avenue.
Yep, next to Carl Subs.
That's right. There you go.
Great landmark.
That's right.
Great landmark. All right.
Thank you, Jenny. Thanks for coming back in and telling us what the new happenings at Art Enables.
Great. I appreciate the invitation. Thanks so much. And we look forward to seeing folks at Art Enables.
All right. Thanks, Tony. Take care.
All right. Thanks.
All right, everyone. That is going to wrap up another episode of Rhode Island Avenue Radio. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you next week.
See you next week.